Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey, this is Achtung Millwall.
When I was young and just a boy, I asked my mother, what will it be?
Right to midfield, it's Wallace, going down the middle. He's got Elliot overlapping him, can he find him?
Yes! Jim Wallace! Halfway! Neil Gregory! No, Jim Wallace! Lee Gregory! The back is shining to the middle! Halfway! Wise Nick in the death!
Achtung, Millwall.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Achtung Millwall. It's manic here, dear listeners. Mania is in the air. You know exactly what kind of mania I'm talking about. Millwall mania at Nzamba Road. It's about 5 minutes to kick off. Just short 5 minutes of the kick-off. I'm here with Love Sport royalty, Mr. Aaron Paul.
Well, say hello to the listeners, Aaron.
Hello, listeners. The crowd filling up. Big night at the end, dear listeners. Where else would you rather be? At least 6 or 7 minutes to kick-off. It's going to be manic. I don't know if the Everton... I'm here with Ricky Simpson, by the way.
Evening.
I don't know if the Everton players know what's going to hit them when they come out, Andy.
I don't think they will. I think it's a different thing. You can play in any of the Premiership, but there is nowhere in this world like the Den under lights with a full crowd.
With a tasty fixture too.
When you've got some bloke on the halfway line calling you a gun.
I'll tell you what, Aaron, the FA Cup's still going to be a bit tarnished. I think, watched Manchester United last night at Arsenal. They took that very seriously. Good result for United. This is a huge game today. I can't see much evidence of the FA Cup's luster disappearing on us.
Just listen to the atmosphere, Nick. Listen to the atmosphere.
I know.
It's enough to put hairs up on the back of your neck. I mean, genuinely, listen to this is brilliant. This is what the FA Cup's all about. 5:30, under the lights, at the Den. All they need next is Tahiti Millwall blame. And then you know what? We'll have a full-on encounter. But I look forward to hearing Roy Green coming on next.
Teams in the tunnel, images on the big screen. Lions tonight under a little bit under strength. Obviously, we've had some loan signings. Return of Ben Thompson back from Pompey, cup tied. Ben Marshall, cup tied. Fred Onyedimba, cup tied. Whether you'd call him a critical factor in tonight's proceedings, I don't know. But after last week's experiment with 4-3-3 up at Middlesbrough, we're probably going to be traditional 4-4-2 tonight, but we shall see, dear listeners. You're going to have to forgive my less than eloquent style tonight. It is very real mania in the stadium. Quite hard to think of anything witty, repartee, so you have to make do with what you get off me tonight. Mick, the wall of noise when you come into the Den is quite something. I mean, you've been in the middle of the pitch on match day.
It's not good.
It's an incredible experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But it gets all the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. And standing in that tunnel, listening to like the big crowd, yeah. It gets to you. It must. I mean, I've been here a couple of times, especially at the beginning when I was doing it. Your legs go and everything. Yeah. And the Everton players, I mean, OK, they played in big stadiums, but I don't know if it's really this close.
No.
And this
is very, very claustrophobic.
Very, very aggressive. And you don't realise how small the Den is until you're down there.
No.
When you're down there looking back.
I've been, when we did the Lions Trust Cup, I stood in the centre circle briefly. and it is incredible how walled in you feel. The stands are much, much closer in the centre of the pitch than they feel when you're high up, as we are here tonight in the West Upper. Here come the teams. The Royal Green Classic. Let them come. First used in 1970, dear listeners. We'll test the character for this Everton team tonight. In different Premier League form, Everton. Early this season, they look better. They've been so-so. They've won decent win. I think Burnley, they won well at Burnley, 5-1. Apart from that, very indifferent form. So it's going to be a massive test for this Everton side tonight. This is not a place I'd want to play in. I can tell you that much, dear listeners. As I posted on Twitter, 5:30 kickoff, full afternoon in the pub, Everton. What could possibly go wrong, Mick? Nothing. No better place. Always interesting to watch an away team hugging each other and comforting each other in the middle of the park and telling each other how the atmosphere is not going to get to them. A lot of that going on with the white-shirted Everton team at the moment. Leighton Baines went on News at Den in the week to say the atmosphere won't bother them too much. Well, we're going to see, aren't we? I think first team to score wins it tonight. On paper, obviously, the Everton side is a hugely well-resourced Premier League outfit. Neil Harris described them as world-class, which I thought was probably going a little bit strong, but they've certainly got some very good players. Richarlison, Sigurdsson up front. The Lions obviously will have not quite our second string, but certainly not our first choice 11 out there. So it's going to have to be tonight or nothing for Millwall, I feel. I believe Gary Lineker is in the house, in the TV hut over on the Whitten Timber Gardener stand. Over to our right as we look. Well, there we are, dear listeners. We're going to kick off. The Lions will be attacking the away end. In accordance with common law and English legislation since 1873, the Millwall Act. Lions in their familiar dark blue. Everton in white and blue tonight. Sean Williams kicks us off. And the Lions straight in with a long ball. Aidan O'Brien's out there. Ryan Leonard, Lee Gregory, Shane Ferguson, Shane Williams, Tunnicliffe, Marlon, Jake Cooper, Sean Hutchinson, Murray Wallace, excuse me, wouldn't be McLaughlin, he's injured. Forgive me. That's a very rough and ready team check for you. I apologise, I've not had a chance to do any pre-match research whatsoever, but that's how you like this show. You like it rough and you like it ready, don't you, dear listeners? Near full house, there's one or two seats around us in the far corners. I see some, one or two over in the family stand away to our right, but not many. Sense of Millwall psychomania in the air, that kind of atmosphere. A great post by AWOL27 on Twitter I saw that said that BBC viewers have been for a treat. They see ex-Barcelona left-backs being roundly abused by Terry the Blaster, who's been on the sauce all afternoon. Tonight's game is, of course, going out on global international television around planet Earth. They'll be watching this from Zambezi to Zaire.
Botswana to Bermondsey.
Botswana to Bermondsey. The ball into the box there from the right side. That's across the face of the Millwall goal there. Early thrust forwards. This is having to retain the ball on the left side. Coming towards 3.5 minutes. Ball into the middle and headed away by Sean Hutchinson. Everton just keeping possession. As you will expect, this is a side of some riches, moderate in the Premier League terms, of course. I think they're 11th coming into today's game in the Premier League. But by the side of the resources available in Millwall, a glittering tapestry. There you are. I don't know if you were aware, but nobody likes us. We don't care.
Got a text in from Germany.
Everybody knows us, we're called Millwall. It's
MJ in Germany.
MJ in Germany now, on Aaron's phone now. I love Charlton. They get Everton 9 times league champions, 5 times cup winners. Who the fucking hell are you? In comes that corner from the left-hand side. It's across the box. Gives a chance for the Lions to break now. This is Aidan O'Brien coming down the left side. Takes his man on. It's going to be a corner! No, the referee's given it as offside. To the derision of the Millwall support. Everton playing a little bit of possession football at the back. Playing to the goalkeeper. Lee Gregory's chasing him down. 5 comes all 6 minutes. They do dodge that bullet. Apologies for the sound quality last week up at Middlesbrough. I'm using the old Lavalier mic. So I'm using the old Lavalier tonight. I hope it'll be good enough for you, though, dear listeners. If it's not, you do get a full money-back guarantee of this show. They're fanning around, they're getting defence. Why do teams do that? I don't understand why teams want to start passing the ball around.
It's an obsession of playing out from the back. It's such an obsession.
It's madness. I mean,
what happened to the old-fashioned, how long can your keeper kick it?
I don't know. I mean, that puts yourself under pressure. It's a, given the situation, we're going to be pressing that kind of situation. I don't get why teams do it. But anyway, it suits us if they carry on doing that, dear listeners, doesn't it? I haven't seen tonight's team, hence my rather rough and ready take on the line-up earlier on. I'm guessing Steve Morrison's on the bench tonight. Out of contract in the summertime, Neil Harris alluded on the news of Den that a contract will be forthcoming for Steve. In fact, his wording exactly was that Steve Morrison will always have a place in the squad as long as I'm managing here. I would imagine more on the coaching side and as the back room influence, but I can't disagree with that. What do you think, dear listeners? Do you agree with that? Is Steve Morrison, you know, a must-have presence? I think he brings a certain guile and nous to a team that otherwise, and leadership that otherwise might lack it, so I'm all in favour of that. But do feel free to vent your spleen on me if you don't agree with it. Here come Everton down on the right side, 23's into the box. That's across the face of the goal. The striker swung at it but missed. 9 minutes, coming towards 10 minutes. I would think for a moderately placed Premier League side like Everton, the FA Cup will be an ideal trophy to pursue.
Well, as you know, after speaking to Michael Ball on Thursday night, it's Everton. Well, first it's Millwall's Cup final.
Cup final, yeah, I took issue with that.
Yeah, I didn't think that was very nice. But it's a trophy they should be winning, to be fair. They're not moderately sort of rich, they're minted, but they spend and spend. They're spending like a kid on Football Manager when you get a bit of money. Very, very simply. They just buy random players. Look at half the players they've got, and to be fair, I'm not sure if they're making any of the top 6 players. They've got some of these players because they're just cast on some other clubs.
You let your country down. I thought we did quite well, but anyway, at Millwall, anything's game, isn't it? So yeah, great to see the FA Cup maybe making a bit of a resurgence in interest. Grand old competition, 1872 it began, of course, with the very first competition, won famously by the Wanderers. I think it was the Royal Engineers in the very first FA Cup final. I imagine the BBC have their mics turned down for this kind of ribaldry and free and easy comment, Mick.
They probably haven't switched up. The FA probably wouldn't have switched up.
They'll ban us from football permanently.
Oh, yeah.
Halfway through the first half. No goalmouth incident really worth the name. Everton probably having more possession than the Lions, but to no great effect. They've had a couple of crosses into the box that have not looked terribly dangerous. Lions looking to, as is our wont, to soak up the pressure and then hit them on the break. Everton, of course, known as the Toffees. The Toffees. And they have the pre-match ritual of the lady going around handing toffees out. Apparently due to an old sweet shop that was outside the gates of Goodison Park back in the olden days. Yeah, it was a sweet shop. According to Wikipedia, that solid body of encyclopedic knowledge. Hence the name Toffees. A little bit of fiddling around by Jules Narcher. He almost concedes possession. He does put it out into touch for a throw-in for Everton. Unnecessarily, so I would have wanted to have seen him launch that ball forwards. But there we are. Possession-wise, I'm going to guess that they've had 60%, 70% plus, if that stats are your thing. But you can't say they've dominated the game. That's possession, 65% for Everton, 35% Millwall. 2 shots for Everton and one for the Lions. Sign up for Energy Bet, Mickey. Commit your income to a betting company online for the benefit of football. Mick's pulling a face.
No comment.
No comment. Yeah.
No comment.
Everton will probably feel they've quelled the crowd to a degree. It'll only take one moment to bring them back into play again. But at the moment, there's been no real clear-cut chances. One shot for the Lions I saw on the stats a moment ago. So Everton probably feel its job done to an extent of 35 minutes so far. What do you think, Aaron? Do you think they'll be happy where they're at the moment?
Everton? I don't think so. I think they've been quite poor.
I
think they've been very poor, in fact. And listen to a lot of Watford fans. If you look at their next three games, Huddersfield away, Wolves at home, yeah, and Watford away.
Yeah.
What Watford fans want is Millwall to do them a favour now, because they want to see,
right,
Silva either get sacked before the game,
okay,
or after the game, after the way he sort of,
right,
mugged
of course,
off Watford,
yeah, of course, like, he did.
And to be honest, they don't look very special. I think.
No, they don't. No.
You look at the money they've got in there. Andre Gomez is a good player. Mina's from Barcelona. Dina's from Barcelona. They've got experience with Coleman, experience with Idrissa Garner, experience with Sigurdsson. Calvert-Lewin's probably the most inexperienced one there. And you know, you've seen Millwall have sort of like...
Well, they're taking the game to them, haven't they?
Edgy spells of possession, yeah, in their half. It's not been concrete for Millwall. And to be honest...
Self-imposed error here at Aaron. Sorry, mate.
Go on.
Jordan Archer's almost given the ball away there to the... Evertonian forward, but Murray Royce does the job in the end.
With a tiny bit of Millwall quality, you score.
Yeah.
You beat him.
Yeah.
Pickford's prone to a flat.
Yeah, he looks wobbly. I mean, that was a wobble there from Jordan Archer. We can do without that. But I agree. I mean, they've not looked any great shakes. Unless we give them the game, they're there for the taking for me. Rain absolutely pelting down out there now, quite visibly so from the where we are in Block 1. You can see it on TV earlier on. It's quite visible now to the naked eye.
No disrespect to him, but Murray Wallace,
yeah,
look how far he's drifting off of Lookman.
Yeah, yeah.
He's drifting so far from him. And Lookman's a decent player.
Yeah.
You know, he'll drop a shoulder or something.
Yeah.
And he'll fly past him. And that really concerns me, that flank. That one flank. Over the other side, you're not worried because you've got Marlon Romero.
No, there's a lot of space on the right, I do agree.
On that flank, it just is so concerning.
Is Everton shot from distance? Gone through Jordan Archer. First shot on target that's gone under his arms. 42 minutes. What a gutter.
We're just talking about goalkeepers there.
He's looked wobbly earlier on. He's, when he's good, he's very good. When he's bad, he's alright. It's one of those.
I can see runs. Steam coming from block 45 of the Docker stand. It's Harry Warren just firing his engine.
It was an average shot, dipping shot. It's gone under his arms.
It's routine.
No, let's watch it again on the screen. It's Is it Richarlison, is that? That's a dipping shot. Took a deflection, didn't it? It's gone through Jordan Archer. And we do lack quality down that left side, I do agree.
Well, I mean, Meredith or Wallace...
Meredith's not looked the same player.
It's the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
You know?
Pace kills us. I did a little online reply through an Everton website, and I said that if they want to win the game, get down the flanks, especially on that left side. We lack pace. I don't think I'm... Little header in from Jake Cooper. It's a... Wow! Lee Gregory!
Oh,
Jake Cooper! Bites Lee Gregory inside the box! And then fucking explode! Yeah! Yes! 1-8! Have a listen to that! Straight ball crossing the box. Caught by Jake Cooper. Lee Gregory from inside the six-yard box. 1-0! Watch it again. Free kick. About just inside the middle half. It's launched long. Jake Cooper comes short. Gets a thick header on. There's Lee Gregory. Floats over the top of Jordan Archer.
Pickford. He's short. Use it.
Beautiful take. There you go. 1-8.
Words.
They are Everton words. Pickford and the central defender talking to each other.
Why wasn't he picking
them
up?
Absolute mania inside the den, dear listeners. As you can imagine, as you can picture it.
If you look at the goalkeeper, he's not the biggest in stature.
No, no.
He's not the biggest in stature. And Gregory's just got... He's hitting so much purchase.
Last incident of the first half. Justice has been done. I feel justice has been done. The Lions didn't deserve to go behind. That was a self-inflicted error. And they can leave the pitch with their heads held high. One each.
They deserve that. They deserve that moment.
Achtung.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away we go. Second half, dear listeners. Everton will be attacking the away end of the second period. Lions will be attacking the cold blow, as is right and proper. Early break forwards for Everton here. They were very average, we felt, in the first half. Lions going behind to a self-imposed error, self-inflicted error by Jordan Archer, unfortunately. But then doing well to get back into it with that Lee Gregory header just on the stroke of half-time. No Ben Marshall tonight, of course, no Ben Thompson, both cup-tied. I thought we looked really good up at Middlesbrough last week. I don't know if you tuned into last week's show. If you did, you would have picked up how well I thought we played, particularly for the first half. We had a bit of pressure in the second half, and then Middlesbrough obviously got back into proceedings with that late penalty. But overall, I thought we did a job on Borough. Rain coming back down our own torrents. Hold that thought about the rain had stopped. It's restarted. Little boys in front of me looking at me like, fascinated by the sight of a man podcasting. The glamour, the glitz of the podcaster's world. This must be a miserable night. You're an expensive player from Brazil. It's pouring with rain. You're in South Bermondsey and you've got the Millwall crowd on your back. What an experience.
Can he do it on a cold, rainy Saturday?
Well, there's the question. There's the question. Clearly not. This one's gone down here, whoever this is. The club shop will be closed under the glittering array of... club shop. How did you find the club shop, Aaron?
Well, I was just going to say, the official club shop update is Friday night on
Luxor. Oh, it is on Friday.
We're going to have the full range.
Yeah.
But there are bargains to be had.
Bargains to be had.
That's what I'm saying.
Tune in Friday night for more on the Mill Club Shop on the Mill Fan Show.
Friday night,
huh? We will be, yeah. We're at the shop. We're at the chop and change it. Everton on the break, 54 minutes. Pressing forwards. This is Lookman, number 17. Little break inside the box. Shot from the edge of the penalty area. That's took a deflection. Gone for a right-sided corner. One awful moment. I thought that was going to trickle in on the right side. Sigurdsson. Icelandic player. Mentioned in the ancient myths and runes of Viking mythology, Sigurdsson. He descended from the Icelandic caves and came out into the centre of the earth, where he discovered a race of dinosaurs at the centre of the earth. Arnie Sigurdsson in the famous Jules Verne novel. Yes, I've twisted the truth. That's ball across the little box in the corner there. It is lofted clear. 55 minutes. Ball falls. This is Lee Gregory inside the box. He finds Williams. Oh, wrong decision. Lee Gregory, a little moment there on 56 minutes, 57. Try to feed Sean Williams. Should he have taken a shot? Yes, he probably should. But there we are, these are the moments that turn games. Ticking towards 59 minutes. Cut to eye in the balance. Everyone on the brakes at 12. Ball flashes across the middle box. Beautiful last ditch stand there, close it. Lee Gregory pressing forwards. Full-blooded cup tie. This is what you want, dear listeners. Where are you in the world? Have a listen to that. Chance for Mill to think the ball forwards to Sean Hutchinson. Free kick just inside the middle half. 60 minutes showing. As the rain buckets down, he lobs it forward, trying to find Lee Gregory. That's going to deflect it away. incredible, incredible atmosphere. Rain has eased a little bit, as Mick said, it was like Noah's Ark style earlier on. It's eased up a little bit now. It's still raining, but not quite as heavily. If there was a World Cup for passing the ball around in your own half beautifully to each other, then Everton would be contenders, but they lack cutting edge. I can see why they're an average side in the Premier League.
Well, if you're Neil Harris now, where do you go?
In this game?
With the side. Where do you go? Where do you make a change? For me, they need quality out wide. Quality out wide, someone just to draw up the fullbacks.
And the obvious move is Steve Morrison. But,
Morrison or Scala?
Yeah.
Scala, this should be a game for Scala.
It should be. He's not really taken hold
here.
No, he had a bout of illness and just hasn't quite kicked on. But it would be great to see him kick on. Is he on the bench tonight, Scala?
Yeah,
is he?
Yeah.
Is he? Let's go. Then maybe this is a chance, you know. Skalak, get him out. He's a quality cross of the ball. We haven't really threatened much since the goal. It's ball to Falls now. This is Everton on a break. This is the 14. That's 2-1. 14 scores from the left. A quality finish.
Yeah, but he cut through the middle.
He was
just given, yeah. he was given the freedom.
Given time and space.
Given
yeah.
the freedom.
Ball through the middle. It was played through left. And as Aaron said, it was just a touch extra pace and quality finish. And there's no substitute for that, dear listeners. Middle corner on the right. Free kick. There's a free kick just short of the corner flag.
This is such an opportunity.
Big chance, another chance to get the ball into the mix. 74 minutes.
Look at Marlon just hovering on the edge of the deep. I can't see who's gone back.
Ball comes in, floats in. Ball's up, bouncing around. Runs clear. Oh! Yeah! From the left right side, bounces up high, bounces around inside, probably hint of offside, but Bale's coming back. It falls to Cooper. Big given, it's a goal. Everton moaning. Yellow card given for moaning. What an unattractive trait it is to moan. Don't moan out there, listeners, don't moan. It's unbecoming. There's a name from the past, Theo Walcott.
Yeah, it feels like he's been around for a long time, but no one actually knows what he does.
The Danny Baker book refers to his first trip to Millwall as being akin to being plugged direct into the national grid. And it has got that feeling tonight, dear listeners. You're wired literally into your national electric supply. Looks like it's Aidan O'Brien coming out.
That's a good coach.
Yeah. Not Aiden's most effective game. He's given everything, but not the most effective performance by Aiden O'Brien. It's been a full-blooded performance by Millwall tonight. I don't
proper
think we can...
Proper cup time.
Yeah, proper cup time. It's Morrison time, dear listeners. 88 minutes. Aiden O'Brien. Sean Ferguson's coming. Ferguson's going to come out. Free kick. Was that Morrison got fouled there? This could be last chance saloon. I reckon about the last minute of the game coming up.
So you need Hutchinson.
Williams will take the right sided free kick. It's about halfway inside the Everton half.
Don't get scared now.
It's going to be Sean Williams that takes. Everyone's gone forward. Everyone, they've got everyone back. It's floated into the mix. Ball bounces down.
Sean Williams, 3-2, Millwall, you can write this drama, you cannot write this drama, Hollywood, Bollywood, I can't believe what I've just seen, dear listeners, ball throwing it in, it falls to Sean Williams, I think it is, but Murray Wallace, no Sean Williams, who cares who it was,
I told you, don't get scared now.
To Millwall. Bloody hell! Football, right? Football! What drama! One of the great, great cup nights of the Den. Listen to that, dear listeners. This is tense stuff there, listeners. Hey! Lions win it! Millwall 3, Everton 2, 1-0. Cup for boys' best. Oh my goodness. What a night. I can't believe the drama that we've seen tonight, dear listeners. Lions twice behind Premier League opponents. And they make a comeback. We're 3-2. I'm sorry, I'm speechless. There we are. Lions progress to the fifth round. The cup run is on. What a night, what drama. And that's an old familiar song from Mr. Bye for Now. Thank you to Mickey Simpson, big thank you for coming on the show.
No worries, thank you very much.
Big thank you to Aaron Paul, that's all. Tune in Friday night for more Aaron Paul. Bye for now. We'll be back after these messages.
Oh, Bermondsey, that's home to me. I'm longing for a moment when I shall see the happy laughing razor slashed faces of the people I love. Back home in Bermondsey,
in Connera,
I wanna be
in Connera
because the smuggled booze they've got is practically free.
It's the Lucas Ball Report.
Millwall 3-2 winners here at the Den, and what a game. You know, just over 15 minutes to play and they're still 2-1 down, but managed to produce some spirit. Late goal from Murray Wallace in the end is what won it for the Lions, and it's a good performance overall. I think special mention probably for Ryan Leonard in midfield, battled throughout, picked up an injury late on, but braved it, carried on. And it, you know, his bass in nature drove the Lions forward throughout the game and helped them escape some heavy pressure from the Everton attack. The back, Sean Hutchinson and Jake Cooper, both very good too today. Marlon Romeo had a good game down the right, and the substitutions had a positive impact. Steve Morrison's leadership late on just gives Millwall that bit more nous, that bit more know-how, and Alex Pearce coming on right at the end just for the last couple of minutes just to make sure of things, and Millwall into the fifth round, and the dream draw is obviously West Ham at home. Go on, you Lions.
Oh, it's a big welcome to Michael Avery on the show. Welcome, Sunday morning nightmare. Welcome, Michael.
Morning, Nick. You're up.
Do anything last night, mate? Quiet night in?
Yeah, quiet night in, a few beers, also celebrating the AFC Wimbledon result as well as
of
ours.
Of course, the giant killing, that's the safe giant killing for the evening rather than the edgier version that happened at Millwall. What a night that was. One of the great cup nights, Michael, I think, at the Den. One of the great atmospheres at the Den.
yeah, it was an amazing game, wasn't it? I mean, I said it to a few people at the ground yesterday. You know, we talk about the run that we had where we ended up playing Spurs in the quarter final when we beat Watford and Bournemouth and, yeah, you know, Leicester at the time who were champions. But last night trumped all that for me.
Absolutely. I can hear my voice is hoarse and, you know, an octave down on its normal sound. So I don't know how some of the other guys in the stadium will be this morning. I would imagine there's going to be a few sore heads after that. Dramatic, as the BBC put it, 94th minute winner by Murray Wallace. In a funny way, I mean, it was a great performance and it was a great show of character by our team. I can't say the game was tremendously, you know, it wasn't exactly an advert for English football in that sense, but what it was an advert for English football in terms of sheer grit and determination not to concede defeat by the Millwall side.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, like you were saying just then, it wasn't a great game. It was an entertaining game to a level that, you know, it was very backwards and forwards. You know, there was some big tackles going in, and you know, there was a few ideas that you could see that both teams were trying to do. But it was quite funny because every time we scored, I don't know about you, Nick, but I kept looking over to the linesman because I thought the way this is, they won't have Everton go out the cup. They'll probably put a flag up for offside, especially with Murray Wallace's goal.
The FA conspiracy against
especially
us.
Especially on the BBC. Exactly. Lineker up the top with his little tweets going out about it. I thought they can't have Everton be defeated by Millwall.
But we weren't having it. It was, I mean, just looking at the BBC report, I mean, I'm just saying to Michael off-air listeners that I've done zero prep for this little piece, so I'm really Michael too, I think. We're blagging it as we go along, really. So forgive any kind of jerky back and forth subject matters here. But I'm just looking at, there's a picture of Man of the Match, Lee Gregory. The BBC have named Lee Gregory. And the rain is biblical. You know, it was the conditions made for a classic giant killing last night, if you can call Everton the giant club. But certainly we played the conditions better than they did. I mean, I thought they were the classic pass the ball around for no great purpose side. I wouldn't want to watch them week in, week out.
Yeah, they weren't great. You can see why they're inconsistent. You were saying there about them being a giant, a supposed giant, but they are still a huge club. I mean, like for me, you know, I'm a bit older than some of the millennials, obviously, and I remember in the 90s, you know, Everton winning the FA Cup and making the final and, you know, being a good European side in the early 2000s. But there was a spell during the game, which I remember quite well. I think it was either 2-2 or they were 2-1. I think it was 2-2, but basically, as you were saying, they were passing the ball around. They were doing it along the back line. And you could see their fans were getting frustrated, what's going on? And there is an element of that. There was over £200 million worth of talent there. Theo Walcott on the bench. You know, let's be honest, they're moaning about a handball goal against them. They should have wrapped us up.
The talent, I mean, you know, the talent individually, I mean, it reminded me a little bit of the trip to Middlesbrough last week on a far smaller scale, as Harry put it, a kind of Diet Coke version. But, you know, you have individually valuable, very talented players. I was looking at Richarlison, talented boy. The guy that scored the goal, Cenk Tosun. These are good players and they're valuable players. And I think someone valued the Everton squad at £220 million, which to me seems like a highly inflated valuation given the lack of backbone, really. That's what would get me if I was an Evertonian. The lack of backbone and the having got themselves in front by hook or by crook twice over to give the game up, and that's what they did. They just didn't have an answer for the situation, did they?
You're saying those players as well. No, you are right, but you've got to remember as well, like Jordan Pickford. It was only 6 months ago. Everyone was saying he's one of the best keepers in the world.
I didn't think so last night. Did you, Michael?
No, exactly.
Very poor.
Lee Gregory, Murray Wallace, and Jake Hooper's shoulder.
Yeah,
showed he was.
Shoulder. I like that. Yeah, we'll come to that.
it was a shoulder. But it's, you know, you look at the stats on the BBC website. We've said it before about lies, damn lies and statistics. Everton had 64% of possession, I'm looking here. That's normally what all teams have against us at the Den. We're a counter-attacking side who let them play the ball. They only had 7 shots to our 6, only 3 corners to our 1. So it wasn't as if it was, you know, like the classic Barcelona-Celtic game where Barcelona had 55,000 shots and had 94% possession and Celtic squeezed a result. You know, you're right, they didn't turn up. And you've got Sigurdsson there in the midfield, with add-ons, if they do well in certain competitions, he's over £50 million. And apart from a few passes here and there, what did he do? I know he set up the goal, but again...
Well, none of them did anything. We gifted the opening goal. That was Richarlison, wasn't it? The shot from distance, dipping shot. Took a deflection, I think, off of Hutchinson. But no real excuse for Jordan Archer to let that go underneath his body. That was a classic Jordan Archer moment. And, you know, you have to... for every great save that Archer makes, there's also... an accident, waiting to happen with him. He's a very frustrating goalkeeper in that way.
Yeah, you're right. And I thought he turned a corner a bit this season, if I'm honest with you. I know he had that spell outside of the side when Ben Amos came in. But I personally didn't agree with dropping Archer when Neil Harris did this season. You know, I thought he'd improved a bit more. He looked a lot more steady. He got man of the match away at Blackburn. But, you know, yesterday... just looking at it, and it does take a deflection, but to be honest, the deflection, if anything, helps him out because it puts it nearer to him,
and it's gone underneath him.
Exactly.
Unforgivable. And that I must admit, when that happened late in the first half, real gutty moment. I thought, well, that was probably the tie out of our reach. I'd said beforehand, first team to score will probably press on and win it, and we gifted it to them rather than them taking it. But what a great show of character, Michael, to come straight back up at the other end. And pretty basic reply, wasn't it? It was just a free kick forwards caught by Jake Cooper, who had come slightly deeper to win it. And then a really nice finish by Lee Gregory to put us back in the game again and going half-time with a buzz in, in the den. And that was a great reply.
Yeah, it was a beautiful header, wasn't it, to be honest, from Lee Gregory. Well, Harris managed to get that up and over Pickford.
Yeah.
Was amazing. And one thing, I know Millwall's sort of known for it, and I think it was who mentioned it on Sky the other day, Rossini, saying about the sort of long ball, punting ball not really working too well.
Yeah.
After the Blackburn game. But, you know, if I was Everton, going back to it, and I was at Marco Silva, I'd be thinking, how, let's be brutally honest, how has a team who were near the bottom of the Championship beat us with three set pieces?
Yeah,
there were corners or free kicks that came in.
I mean, our team was weakened. We'd lost Jed Wallace prior to kickoff, which would normally be a major blow. Is a blow, and it was a weakened side, Michael. I mean, I thought our strongest 11 would have been the team that turned up at Middlesbrough the week before, but half of them are cup tied or unavailable. So, you know, that was not quite a second string 11, but it was certainly a weakened Millwall 11, and. You know, obviously enough basic approach in the way we took the game to Everton, but that was more than ample to get back in the game. I think it speaks volumes for Everton's lack of character, really. That's the thing I took away from last night, a sheer lack of backbone in that Evertonian side.
They were saying on the radio now that Everton's season is effectively over, and it will be interesting to see what happens with Silva, because they had Koeman in, and... Koeman was brought in to take them to that next level, and I know their first season he did well, didn't he? Take them to like 6th or 7th or something like that.
Yeah.
Got them into Europe on contention. Allardyce came in, and regardless to his sort of tactics of football, how he plays the game, he was basically told, we want you to get us into the top 6 and into Europe again.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting to see this manager, you know, Marco Silva, who's 11th in the table, can't string results together, and you're in charge of a team who in their minds, and probably rightly believe, they should be winning cup competitions, if not be making a push for the top 4.
They should be.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the money available to them is beyond our imagination. The array of talent they've got in the team individually is beyond our imagination. And yet they look like just another Patsy Championship side to me yesterday. I mean, it could have been Nottingham Forest we were watching. It was... It was that weak, you know, like a cup of weak tea that's tepid. It was nothing, you know. The goal to go ahead, the 2-1.
With that horrible bit of skin on the top.
the goal to go ahead, 2-1, I thought that was probably their best moment of the game, really. And exposed our defensive frailties, especially that was down the left, wasn't it? The Cenk Tosun kind of surged through our defence and finished very well. And I thought that was another critical moment. And a decent team probably wouldn't have let it go from there, but they're not a decent team in that sense. To go 2-1 ahead, and that was, 73rd minute, was it, I think, that they scored? 72nd.
Yeah.
a team of that standing and resource ought to have closed us out, and we should have had a sniff after that, should we?
No, we shouldn't have, and that's why the Premier League teams are in the top tier of English football, some of them, because they do. They'll score a goal and they'll shut out the game. But it's so bizarre, because like we're talking about Everton and the money they've spent, and we've said it as well, but it just, I know we're sort of going around in circles a bit, but it seemed like an inexperienced performance, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like you'd think that they'd sort of shut it off, have one in front of the back four, stop things going through, but they just didn't, did they? And they gave away clumsy fouls. I mean, was it the second goal where Romeo got fouled by the corner flag?
It was a free kick, just short of being a corner itself. It was a couple of yards short. And, you know, it obviously there was the kind of high comedy of the goal going. You know, in real time, I wasn't aware that it hit Jake Cooper's arm and gone in the net. It wasn't a deliberate handball, but we'd have been screaming blue murder if... you know, if Everton had handballed the a goal in our end, and thankfully VAR didn't apply at the Den last night. Thankfully, because I think we probably would have lost that goal if it had have been there. But these are the breaks, these are the moments, and it was still sloppy defending by Everton just to allow the chance to occur. So, you know, I don't know how you feel, Michael, but I'll take that as a stroke of good luck in a season that hasn't been very kind to us generally on the luck front.
Yeah, we needed that luck, to be honest. Yeah, we really, really did, because we've been on the wrong end of results, regardless to FA conspiracies or anything, for years. But, but I mean, it's with the VAR, it's going to be interesting to see how they do it, because there's an argument in rugby which uses a similar system with a TMO. Mm. I remember a couple of years ago, like, people were getting sin-binned and red carded a lot, and James Haskell, the old Wasps and like Northampton player, he basically said, watch it back in real time and you'll see it was like impossible to get out of the way, or impossible not to sort of like
concede
the
offence. Yeah,
exactly. And if you watch the Jake Cooper one again, everyone where they're screaming, oh, it's blatant handball, it's at that sort of really, really slow, let's pause it here to see when he lifts his arm up moment. It's not in the, hang on, it's bounced off four people, he stood in a penalty area, I'm not really sure he's known it's hit him and gone in. So if you watch it in the real time, there is an argument it probably may have been given, you know, if you had a lenient...
Well, it certainly wasn't a deliberate handball into the net. It seems to have hit him on the arm and then obviously gone into the net for the goal. And that's the beauty of football in the end, isn't it? There's this eternal debate over VAR and the kind of clinical elimination of human error from what is a sport. And last night was probably a classic example of high emotion in a... You know, that was the overriding storyline of the night. The emotion and the atmosphere and the sheer kind of drama of it all becomes, overtakes everything. And VAR is ultimately a clinical kind of algorithm-based, cold light of day and analysis. And it detracts from the drama of it all. When it's in your favour, it's great. But when it's not so good. It's one of those debates that I think seems to be here to stay, but it does eliminate that kind of human emotion element from a sport, and that's a shame in many ways. It certainly benefited us last night not to have it, that's for sure. And great comedy of Neil Harris telling the Mr. Bye for Now to turn the screen off as well, which is doing the rounds on Twitter as well. Turn the fucking screen off, he's shouting at the exec box, which is a high Millwall moment in its own right, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that clip there was basically my wife and I deciding whether to watch Coronation Street or not. I'd be the one screaming at the kids to get the remote and turn it off. So that's what that was. But yeah, that's typical Millwall, isn't it?
It is, I mean, a Millwall moment. You couldn't invent that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So 2-2, and I must admit, I was in seventh heaven when there was a moment where I thought maybe we weren't going to give it. There was a consultation between the referee and linesman, but then it was given. I think they were carried away with the atmosphere of the situation, which again is very Millwall in its origins, and all set up for the dramatic 94th minute winner, as the BBC puts it, from Murray Wallace, of all the people in all the world to win it, Murray Wallace. An average defender, and yet there he was in the right moment at the right time. And yet more poor defending by Everton, though, Michael, I'd say, wouldn't you? to concede that late.
I'm going to start a petition there. The Murray Wallace end above the away end Wallace after ends. That goal. yeah, I mean, I've got to say, though, apart from that goal, and, I mean, everyone played well yesterday. I mean, even Archer, that one he let in, you know, you take that aside, you know, he commanded his box well and a lot of the high balls coming, he'd come and gathered well. But I can't agree with the BBC giving man of the match to Lee Gregory. I thought Murray Wallace was our man of the match yesterday. I thought he had a tremendous game. I thought he played really, really well. For him to get the goal was really good.
Yeah, the winning goal, 90+4. And, you know, as is the Dens way, it explodes in that moment. And, you know, there's plenty of tweets flying around about the atmosphere. I think it was an incredible atmosphere last night. And it was a decisive factor. I think it was... you know, going back to the talent of Everton and the resources, that's all very well, but it is a very, very tough place for anyone. I'd defy any team in the world when the Den is on fire, like it was last night, to come into that arena and play a beautiful game. It just isn't that kind of situation. It's our great, you know, 12th man, I think Jake Cooper described it as the 12th man, very much was last night. It was an incredible atmosphere, I felt.
Yeah, it was. It was a really, really good game to be at. And, you know, it summed up what it is to be a Millwall fan at that ground yesterday. It was, there was bits of it that were a bit, not nasty, but from the fans, you know, the intimidation was there. Every time the ball went out, you could see it. You know, when the Everton players were nearly slipping over when they was going to get the ball because of all the puddles around the pitch, you know, and the cheering and stuff like that. I mean, it was no malice, obviously, but... It was what Mill was all about, and it was just a really, really good game to be at, and one that's going to live long in the memory for a while. I'm not going to say it's one of the best moments Mill's ever had, don't get me wrong, but it will certainly be up there in a game that's spoken about for a few years now.
Yeah, it was one of the great cup nights at Millwall. I still think the Leicester win a couple of years ago probably outshines it slightly, because they were champions of England. Everton, despite their money, were very, very average, very plain, bog-standard Premier League side. And they displayed all that's good about that, but also the very worst aspects of the Premier League, the lack of backbone and spine to come into, you know, a hotbed like the Den. There's really no other place like it on its night, Michael. I can't think of another venue that brings that sheer force of nature quality to a game of football. It's highly addictive, and you can see why people fall in love with our club. Nights like that are very, very special, and as you say, I think it will live long in the memory. We were just talking off air, Michael. You got bounced slightly by Radio 5. Was that this morning that you spoke to them, or last night?
Yeah, I'd only been up about 5-10 minutes, so that's what made it even worse. I was half asleep from last night, and they were asking me a few interesting questions, to say the least.
There's plenty of video doing the rounds about matters actually some distance from the Den, and I don't think I want to comment on those matters because they are criminal matters, and you know the videos are doing the rounds on Twitter. We live in a city now where knife crime is rampant, and you know no one's going to say well done to anyone for you know using blades. I personally don't like it. It has happened in the past when Mill played Everton, and you know no one wants to see it in society. But that's a criminal matter, and I think it's rather unfair to ask Millwall Football Club what it's going to do about matters that take place actually over a mile away. Surrey Quays is some distance from the Den, and I'm not sure what Millwall Football Club are expected to do about that. I mean, you were bounced with that question by Radio 5, mate.
Yes, I was, to be honest. And yeah, they were asking me, as we said, what the club going to do and what should football do and all this and everything like that. And as you say, yes, there's a good chance. We can't comment it too much because this, obviously, as you said, a criminal matter. But this is a football club who, yes, we've not had the best of reputations, to put it lightly. But nobody has worked harder in football than Millwall to try and eradicate this image. No one's worked harder to be seen as a more family club. We've won accolades for our how we treat our fans and how we treat our families.
Community work, all sorts, yeah.
Exactly, the community work. You know, we do a lot for that kind of thing. And, you know, with the CPO, all the fans got together and the club got together and we showed that we was all united. And for the club to comment, as you say, on something that was over a mile away, completely out of their control, and what are they going to do to stop this happening, is a little bit of a harsh thing, in my opinion, on a football club themselves. Yes, the fans who or the people who were there may not have behaved the way they should have behaved and did things that they shouldn't have done, but to put that on the foot of the door of the club and say, you know, what are you going to do about this, and putting it all over the news and social media, yeah, it's harsh for the club, I have to say.
It's the old classic line that Millwall is the convenient coat peg for other people to hang their problems on. And, you know, a pre-arranged football fight, which is what some of the videos look like to me. I don't engage or indulge in that. I'm way too old for that, and I'm a lover, not a fighter, Michael. You know, there's nothing much that Millwall can do about that. That's a police matter, and the law will follow its own course on that front. There's another video doing the rounds. I actually missed this in real time. A little bit of a 1970s style race related chant that went on briefly, I think, in the East Upper. Which is also unfortunate. I will condemn that if anyone wants any condemnation that's going around. I really don't see why people want to sing songs from the 1970s and 1980s, other than to get under Everton's skin, but it's highly damaging for the reputation of our club on what was otherwise a great night. So if anyone wants any condemnation, I'll condemn a small number of Millwall fans singing a race-related song at some point during the game. I missed it in real time. So, but that video's online as well. So don't ask me to say, well done, lads, for singing that, because I won't. And again, that's highly unfortunate on an otherwise great night for Millwall Football Club. You can't have it all at Millwall. There always seems to have to be a downside, a sour side at some stage, Michael, doesn't there? There always got to be something.
Yeah. And, you know, there is an argument that sometimes, you know, the media do look for it or sort of...
People don't help themselves. They video it. They stick it on their fucking phone, Mike. No, they stick it online and then wonder why, you know, people get nicked for stuff, and it's moronic. But it's, I don't get why people want to sing chants like that. But there we are. I dare say, yeah. Again, that will follow
its own course. It's stupid and wrong in the first place. It's even more stupid to film yourself doing it.
But that's not the full story of the night. I've said what I want to say on it, and this was a great cup night and one of the great Millwall performances, really, given the quality of the team we're up against and the, you know, the slightly threadbare nature of our side last night. I mean, even Scalac saw some action, so that tells you how down to the bare bones we were. Gary Alexander's boy was sitting on the bench, and a young kid called Hanson from under 23.
I had my boots as well, Nick. I don't know about you.
You were ready to go, Michael, weren't you? You were ready to go, mate. Great night. That's the overriding story. It was a great Millwall performance, a great Millwall Cup night, and we'll see who we get in the fifth round. Who do you fancy, Michael? West Ham aren't in it anymore. They got beat by a plucky Wimbledon, didn't they?
Yeah, no, it was a good result for Wimbledon as well, to be fair there. 3-0 up at half-time.
We'll take anyone, I think.
Do you know what? I'm one of the old sort of people who likes the big teams coming down, even if there's the chance they'll turn us over or gives a humiliating scoreline. I mean, can you imagine having Ole Gunnar Solskjaer there for his 10th game in charge, potential 10th win, and we beat them?
United or City?
He doesn't get the job.
It would be an interesting fixture, United or City at the Den. I don't want to think about Manchester City away. That probably won't help our calls either. But there we are. Great cup night. Tune in to Love Sport Radio on Friday night for more Millwall chat about one of the great cup nights at the Den. Big thank you to Michael Avery for rousing himself on a Sunday morning for doing this. And maybe see you next week, Michael.
Yep, hopefully. See you, mate.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, mate. Cheers.
You've been listening to Octoon Millwall, the CBL Magazine podcast. That's the Millwall news this week, and we are out of here.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.